Okay, if you are tuning in with our series, lalo na po pag ako po ang nag-handle po ng ating pong 8 o'clock service, we are tackling the book of Hebrews, no? And we are now in chapter 2. No? And I hope and pray that we will finish this habang andito pa po tayo sa Baguio. And I hope and pray that we will benefit from this series. We will gain more insights, more understanding about the truth of God revealed in this letter, in this book of Hebrews. And please open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 9. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 9. If I give a title of this message, it talks about the person of Christ, his humanity. The person of Christ, his humanity. In last meeting, brethren, what we have studied so far, the last time that I have taught, I have preached in this pulpit, we have tackled verses 1 to 4, no, of chapter 2. And look at me first, mga kapatid, before we read po Hebrews chapter 2. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 tells us about not drifting from the faith, that we should not drift away from the faith. That is in verse 1, that is the main sentence. That is the main thought of the whole chapter. Do not go away from the faith. And that is a passage that encourages all believers to stay in the faith. Manatili po tayo sa pananampalataya po natin. At ngayon po, sa dami-dami ng mga nangyayari po sa paligid, this is a clear call for believers to stay in the faith. Again, chapter 2, brethren, like we have said the last meeting, chapter 2 of Hebrews is part of the application lesson or response from that of chapter 1. What is chapter 1? That Jesus is superior than angels. Jesus is better than these ministering spirits. Because Jesus is better, then we need to hear Him. We need to listen to Him and not drift away from His teaching. Basically, that was the main point of our last sermon. Because Jesus is better than angels, look to Him. Listen to Him. Do not drift away from His teaching. Do not drift away from the faith. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 tells us to listen to what was being taught to us about Christ so that we will not abandon the faith once entrusted to us. And I hope and pray that that was so clear to all of us dahil nga po ang Panginoon ay mas higit po even sa mga nirespeto ng mga Hudyo, ang mga anghel bilang mga ahente po ng pagpapalaganap ng Panginoon ng kanyang batas in the Old Testament because Jesus is better than them, then we must listen to Him. And brethren, the author of the Hebrews gave us two reasons why we need to listen to the message. First of all, because the message of the faith, our faith, is clear and confirmed. No, klarong-klaro po ang mensahe po ng ating pananampalataya. No? People might say that, oh, Christianity is illogical. People or Christian faith is difficult to understand. It is not that it is difficult to understand, but they don't want to accept it as truth. That's the reality. That's the heart why the world do not believe our faith. It is so clear, brethren. It is confirmed. And also, we do not drift away from the faith because our messenger himself is true. Our messenger himself is true. And so, yan po ang pag-usapan po natin ngayong umaga, ngayong pong ating pong pag-aaral po. And before we look at our passage, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 to 9, I would like to ask you, what is one of the biggest differences between Christianity and other religion? Ano kaya? Ano ba ang isa sa mga pinagkaiba, glaring difference between Christian faith and other religion? And the answer, brethren, is that it is about the doctrine of God becoming man. It is about the doctrine of the incarnation. That doctrine, brethren, is one of the differences that contrasts Christian faith from the other religion. Walang ibang relihiyon na magtuturo na ang Diyos ay nagkatawang tao, kundi lamang po ang mga Kristiyano o ang pananampalatayang Kristyanismo. The eternal Son of God came down as a man is one of the most distinct characteristics of Christian faith. Of course, one of the characteristics also, or one of the different characteristics also, is Christian faith is a faith religion. Christianity is faith-based religion. All other religion are based on works. Lahat na ho talagang paggawa. Isa rin ho yun, a major difference. Pero sa ating pag-usapan ngayong umaga, this doctrine, God coming down to earth, coming down as a man, is one of the most distinct characteristics of Christian faith. If you want to summarize Christianity, this characteristic must be also defined. It must be also indeed forwarded to people who are inquiring about our faith, that God became man. And we call it the doctrine of incarnation. Isasya na po kayo, hindi po tayo Pasko, pero sa ating pong series kasi, sa ating series kasi po, matatamaan po ito pong doktrina po na ito. That's why we need to study this. And with all the news and rumors and with all the perspectives in the media, most of the time, our minds are clouded with practicality or pragmatic theology, that we miss also one of the central doctrines of our Christian faith. And that's why we need to be reminded also, ito pala ang isa sa mga talagang laman ng aming pananampalataya. Kailangan ko palang balikan ito. And later on, we will apply this so that this is not just a scholarly study, but actually that study will ultimately be applied in a way that it is seen in our very life. And so, let us read now Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. Ready na ho ba kayo? Hindi po sila ready, Panginoon. Ayan. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. Basahin ko po in New American Standard Bible. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, about which we are speaking. But someone has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you think of him, or a son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have put everything in subjection under his feet. And for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But we do not yet see all things subjected to him. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than angels, namely Jesus, because of his suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Actually, brethren, I like to divide the whole passage, especially the remaining verses of chapter 2, is under that point that we need not to abandon the faith because of the messenger. And in chapter 2, no, we have to look at our Messiah, our messenger. And first of all, today we will look at one aspect of the work or the personality of our Messiah, his humanity. Next meeting po, no, God willing, we will look at Jesus' activity. And so if you want to divide the remaining verses of chapter 2, in verse 5 to 9, it talks about Jesus' humanity. And in the remaining verses, in 10 to 19, it talks about Jesus' activity. And so basically, if you want to just outline chapter 2, now again, chapter 2 tells us not to drift away from the faith. Why? Because the message is clear. And second, because the messenger is also true, it is clear. And pwede ulit natin i-sub-points po yung messenger portion po na yon. First, it talks about the messenger as a human, God becoming man, and the Messiah or the messenger as the justifier of the faith, which we will tackle next meeting. Today, we will look at verse 5 to 9. Brethren, I would like to situate ourselves with this passage. Believers at that time kasi of this writing were about to abandon the faith. That is so clear. Gusto ho talaga na mga marami po mananampala that time because of persecution na umalis sa pananampalataya. And when they do that, if they plan to do that, if they want to abandon the faith, actually, they are abandoning the very person of the faith. Okay? Did you get that, brethren? If that time, believers, because of persecution, wanted to abandon the faith, and in doing so, they were to abandon Christ Himself. And people, when they reject Christianity, they are not rejecting a system. When people reject Christianity, they are actually rejecting Christ Himself. And isipin po ninyo, maaari may mga kamag-anak po kayo na hindi pa Kristiyano. May mga kaibigan po kayo na hindi pa po talaga naniniwala kay Kristo. And when you present the gospel to them, they think na, inaakay mo lang ako sa religion ninyo. Di ba? Ganun ang pananaw ng mga tao. And for us, that saddens us. Why? Because they are not just rejecting Christianity as a system, as a faith system, but actually they are rejecting the very answer to their problem. Christ. And so to us, as believers, the moment we sin against the Lord, the moment we dry up our zeal and passion for the work of God in our church, we are not just abandoning the church. We are actually abandoning Christ. Nakuha niyo mga kapatid, kapag tayo po, yung bang tipong kapag kadami-daming problema, biglang ayaw ko na mag-church, ayaw ko na mag-serve, hindi mo inaayawan yung gawain lang sa church. Pero actually, sa mata ng Panginoon, siya ang inaayawan mo. In the context of believers. For unbelievers, if they reject Christianity as a system, they're actually rejecting the person of Christ. And so, brethren, the writer of Hebrews knows this. The writer of Hebrews made a case about Christ's nature so that, listen to this, so that they ultimately realize that Christ is the one and only chosen of God for their salvation. For us not to abandon the faith, the author of Hebrews made a case about Christ. Nakuha niyo mga kapatid, gusto ho ng nagsulat po ng Hebreo dahil alam niya na gustong bumalik ito mga mananampalataya na ito. Ang ginawa po ng nagsulat, hindi, nagbigay siya ng isang malaki pong pag-uusap tungkol po sa personalidad ng ating Panginoon at ang kanyang ginawa. That's why Hebrews chapter 2, 5 to 9, nandyan po yan. Basically po, he wanted to remind the believers at that time, do not abandon the faith. Why? Because these are the facts about Jesus. These are the facts about Christ. And so he mentioned about Christ's humanity. And so he mentioned in verse 10 to 19 about Christ being the perfecter of our faith so that we will not drift from the faith. He mentioned that Christ is better than angels because Christ became our representative the moment he became as a man to identify with us. Angels could not identify with us. Jesus became one of us. Do not abandon the faith, brethren, because one of the facts that the faith that we have is true, God Himself came here. God Himself became one of us. He came and dwelt among us. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 to 9 is one of the clearest sections in the Bible that talks about Christ's humanity. It presents us a different angle of Jesus' perfect humanness. No, alam po natin palagi, John 1, verse 1 to 14, di ba? But Hebrews chapter 2 also presents us a good case, a good point about Jesus' humanity. So if you want to defend that Jesus indeed is fully man, go to Hebrews chapter 2, 5 to 9. And I hope and pray that this will help you with regards to your perspective about Jesus as 100% man, fully human. And so also there are, as we look at Hebrews chapter 2, 5 to 9 also, there are contrasts between angels and men. So from time to time, I will make some comment about this particular truth. Nonetheless, listen to this. This is the main point of this message. What I want you to remember, brethren, in this particular passage is this principle that as believers, as Christians, we are assured of the genuineness of our faith, totoo ang ating pananampalataya, because of the reality and the truthfulness that Christ became man. Good news, of course, started from eternity past, but actually it was fulfilled at that moment when Christ became man. And our faith is true because of that reality. If Christ did not become man, then salvation is impossible. Sino ang magiging totoong maging tagapagligtas kung ang Diyos ay hindi bumaba dito sa lupa? Sino na? And so Christ becoming man is one of our hope with regards to our salvation. And because of that, we are assured that your faith in Christ is true. Because God became man. And so, brethren, we do not need to abandon the faith. Even when persecution comes, persecution will come. We do not abandon the faith. Because what initiated this faith is the only Christ, the only divine Christ who is perfectly man and perfectly God. What gives hope to our salvation, brethren, is the reality that Christ became man to die on your behalf. What gives hope to our salvation is the reality that Christ became man to die on our behalf. Siguro mga kapatid, maaaring, alam ko na yan, Pastor, ilang beses ko na narinig yan. And I hope that as we look into this, it will give you more depth with regards to your grasp of the incarnation of Christ. Because somehow, isa sa mga nakakalimutan po natin ay kung paano ang biyaya ng Panginoon na ang Diyos na makapangyarihan sa lahat, bababa at magiging katulad po natin. That is one of the mysteries. And as we dig into this truth, I hope and pray that it will all the more humble you. It will all the more excite you. Lord, thank you for my salvation. That my faith, that our faith, that Christian faith is true because you came. You gave us hope, Lord God. We are in a desperate situation. We are sinners. Under condemnation of hell. And yet God made a way to solve our problem. He came. And so looking at our passage, brethren, I would like you to observe three things about the humanity of Christ. Tatlong bagay po tungkol po sa pagiging tao ng ating pong Panginoon with regards to the humanity of Christ. First of all, he was identified as those whom God has delegated sovereignty. Okay? Huwag ko kayong mag-alala kung hindi nyo makuha ito, pero isa-isa natin. Second, he was identified as those little lower than angels. And lastly, he was identified as those who have suffered death. So first of all, he was identified as those whom God has delegated sovereignty. In verse 5, it tells us, "For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels." Brethren, when you study about humanity, when you study about the Bible with regards to the humanity with man, it is obvious that in God's purpose and design, man is to be the stewards of God's whole creation. Di po ba? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, God commanded Adam to rule over his creation. It is mankind. It is to mankind. God entrusted His creation. And because of that mandate, the biblical mandate of man to be the stewards of God's creation, he then to till the ground, Genesis chapter 1, that means he has to work on the ground to cultivate it, to nurture it, and to develop it. But then work is not part of the curse. Work actually is part of our mandate as men. We need to till the ground because we are stewards, tagapamahala ng nilikha ng Panginoon. Particularly, the Bible tells us man should subdue the earth and inhabit it as his dominion. That is the original design. Before the fall, we are the rulers. We are supposed to be the rulers of this earth because God has entrusted the rulership to us as men. Problem, brethren, is this. Problem came when an angel by the name of Lucifer, Satan, usurped that delegated authority from Adam. Genesis chapter 3. Di po ba? When we say usurp, actually, he stole from us that stewardship that God has given to us. Kinuha po niya. He usurped from us. He snatched out that authority that God has entrusted to man. Specifically, that time from Adam. And so, listen mga kapatid, by the time after the fall, we all know for the fact that Satan now rules this world. Satan rules this world. One author tells us this is the devil's playground, this created earth. And all the deceptions and destruction Satan could bring is being done here on this world. Lahat ng paglilinlang, lahat ng paninira ni Satanas ay nangyayari sa mundo po na ito. The Bible describes him as the prince of this world. His kingdom is of this world. His demonic legions were described as rulers, principalities, spiritual forces of evil in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Did you get that, brethren? And so before the fall, God's design is for human to rule over the earth. Problem, sin came. Sin came. In God's divine providence, listen to this, just to attest what the author of the Hebrews told us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, in His divine providence, brethren, God did not place the world under the stewardship of angels. And because Satan is an angel, hindi siya tayo dapat, mga mananampalataya. Tao. It was not given to angels. It was given to man. We are to be the stewards of this created world. But because of the fall, then Satan became the prince of this world. And by the way, brethren, the world is a place where man inhabits, not angels. Hindi po dapat si Satanas at hindi po anghel. This is the particular place God allotted men to dwell, this earth. We call it earth. Acts 17 tells us that God has designed this earth so that we might know Him. We inhabit this earth. And this is my point, brethren. This is so important. This doctrine is so important. This attestation is so important because, listen, it gives proof that the Messiah came to earth to a real and physical world. The Messiah came to earth, a real and physical world. What the passage tells us in verse 5, that God has given this world to man and not to angels, attests that when Christ became man, indeed, Jesus came as a real man who has lived on this earth. Something po na parang hirap maunawaan. Itong sinasabi po nito pong passage na ito. God in His design, He entrusted the dominion of earth to man, not to the angels. But because of sin, nabura po yun, nawala po yun. And the author of Hebrews pick up that verse or pick up that line to attribute it to Christ, to attest Jesus' humanity. Jesus came as a real man Jesus came as a real physical person. He came as a man. That passage tells us that God indeed has given this world to man and not to angels, and that Jesus as a real man has lived on this earth. And later on we will see that. And so this truth, brethren, denies the teaching that Christ won't ever come down to this physical world, because this world is sinful and decaying. May mga iba ho na hindi po pwede. Jesus will not come to this earth. Why? Because this is a material world. He is a spirit. The dualistic teaching. No. The God, the eternal Word of God, became man. Naging physical po siya. Naging tao po siya. Also, this teaching rejects the idea that Christ and Michael the angel are brothers. Could not be. Because God entrusted the rulership of this earth to man. And Jesus becoming man tells us that Jesus and Michael angel will not ever become brothers. Anghel po siya eh. Si Jesus naging tao talaga. That teaching is a cultic myth created by one's imagination, brethren. And this is something that in the Jewish thinking is unthinkable. Hindi ho lubusang maintindihan. That God will come down here on this earth as a man, that is unthinkable. But the Bible clearly teaches that this is true. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we look upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest. We have seen him. We have touched him. And we testify, we proclaim to you the eternal life, the Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9, he emptied himself by taking a form of a man, a servant, being born in the likeness of man, being found in human form, he humbled himself. God, or Christ, subjected himself to the reality of the physical world, something to wonder, given that we are undeserving of the purpose why he came. God subjecting himself to the physical world, to this time, with time and space, is something that we must wonder. Brethren, what the author of Hebrews was doing is to strengthen our faith so that those who want to defect and abandon the faith will realize the value of the personality of Christ, especially his humanity, as one who was given authority by God himself. Ulitin ko po. What the author of Hebrews was doing to strengthen the faith of those who wanted to defect and abandon the faith was to present the personality of Christ, especially his humanity, as one who was given genuine authority by God himself. Kumbaga, God wanted to redeem the original design. God wanted to make a way for man to rule for the next created world, to the new heavens and to the new earth. At ano ang ginawa ng Panginoon? Christ became man. The original design of God is that his rulership will not be for the angels, but for man. And to do that, God himself became man. God became man. So, he was identified with those who have given authority by God. So, ano ang patunay na siya, si Kristo ay naging tao? Nakiisa po siya sa mga tao na binigyan po ng autoridad to rule this earth. In-identify po niya ang sarili po niya sa bagay po na ito. And so, if one person tells us, hindi naman talaga naging tao si Jesus, hindi. Sa disenyo ng Panginoon, sa kanyang programa, dun pa lang sa plano ng Panginoon, ang mundo ay para sa tao, hindi para sa anghel. No? Tapos dahil nasira po ito sa kasalanan, yung ginawa ni Jesus ay patunay na talaga naging tao siya. Bakit? To redeem that original creation. God did not send an angel. He sent His only Son to become man to redeem the original design. And that proves that Jesus indeed became man. I hope and pray that that is clear. That is one of the another facet of this doctrinal view, that Jesus became man to original to redeem the original design. And mind your brethren, look at verse 8. Okay, verse 8b. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8b. For in subjecting all things to Him, He left nothing that is not subject to Him, but now we do not yet see all things subjected to Him. Remember that Him refers to man. Though God made a way to redeem the original design, pero hindi pa nangyayari po yung subjection na yon na original design ng Panginoon. That, by the way, that word subjection is a military term that means to put in order all the ranks. Kung baka pipila po sila according to rank. No, it hints us about order. And now, if you look at the world today, it is out of order. Amen? Amen po ba? Ang titingnan niyo yung mundo na ang punong-puno ng kasalanan. So, do you think this is the world that man will rule? Hindi. That's why God became man to redeem the original design. And after that, this world will pass. And God will create another world. We call it the new heaven and the new earth. For Christ to rule with whom? Sino kasama po niya? With believers. Look at your Bibles, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 23. This world will pass. This world will be destroyed. But for God to be faithful to His word, He will redeem the rulership of man in a way that He will work on the new earth. He promised in the later times, in the millennial kingdom, another world. Because that is His original design. Romans 8, verse 19 to 23, brethren, it tells us about reigning with Christ. Man reigning with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it. Again, that's the word subjection, putting in order. Hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. That in that day, brethren, we will indeed reign with Him. Verse 23, not only this, we ourselves, the believers, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption of our sons, the redemption of our body. One day, brethren, God will set up another created world, inhabited world, for man to rule with Christ. That will be in the millennial kingdom. That will be after the tribulation and all this mess because of sin and depravity. Sabi nga po in verse 8, sabi nga, we do not see that happening, but God will surely fulfill His promise. At paano nangyari po yon? Paano nagumpisa? God becoming man. And so another facet, again, no, just to emphasize po, kung titignan yung incarnation lang, hindi bumaba si Kristo dito para magligtas. He wanted to recreate the original design. Did you get that, brethren? Second, He was identified as those little lower than angels, verse 6 to 8. Go back sa Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. In verse 6, but one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? Another proof of Jesus' humanity was the fact that in the psalm, Christ was referred to as a common man being identified as a little lower than angels. Now, hear me out, brethren. This passage is a direct quote from Psalm 8. And if you go back to Psalm 8, the author of Hebrews wanted to defend again and present the truth to the Jewish mind by mentioning the Old Testament, which is very familiar to them. And this particular psalm, Psalm 8, tells us that David was astonished from the fact that God was mindful of man in the light of God's supremacy and sufficiency. God is supreme. God is sufficient. He does not need our worship. He does not need us. And so for David to recognize God's sufficiency, he declared, "Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him?" To highlight the majesty of God, he mentioned the lower status of man in terms of his insignificance and limitation. But then man is so small compared to the whole creation of God, and even compared to angels who are direct ministers of God. In that way, man is little lower than angels. We are made of flesh and blood. Amen? Tusukin mo yung katabi mo ngayon, lalabas green ho. Hindi po tayo alien. We are made out of flesh and blood. We are limited with time and space. In that way, we are little lower than angels. Of course, God's love is equal when it comes to His love and compassion, both to man and to angels. His care is equal, both to angels and to man. And yet, man is little lower than angels in such a way that we cannot directly come to the Lord because we are out of flesh and blood. We are limited in space and time. And with regards to His creation, we are insignificant. We are just one dot out of His eternity. And yet, brethren, God cares for you. We are insignificant in God's eyes in terms of His supremacy and sufficiency. And yet, He has given attention to you. God has given attention to man. He said, "What is man? What is man?" You see, "what is man" is not a statement of ridicule and taunt. Hindi niya, sino ka ba? Hindi ganun. "What is man" are words of grace and kindness out of sheer mercy of God. When God said, or when David declared, "What is man, Lord? You have been so gracious to man that you are mindful of him." That is you and me, brethren. That is us. That is us. And referring to Jesus, Jesus or Christ identified himself with these lower beings than angels. For the author of Hebrews to declare the passage of Psalm 8 in reference to Jesus Christ, again, is a solid attestation, testimony of his humanity. The author of Hebrews directly quoted Psalm 8 to refer to Christ is a solid testimony that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became man. And so yung mga kulto na sinasabi, hindi talaga ang Diyos magkakatawang tao, hindi posible. How can you explain sa Hebrews chapter 2? Jesus became man. And by the way, the word testified there, sabi nga po ng verse 6, but one has testified somewhere. No, dahil nga kausap po nito pong nagsulat ng Hebrews ay mga Hudyo, hindi na binanggit kung sino yon, pero sa isipan ng mga Hudyo, alam nila si David yon. Kasi ang kausap po nito, ang liham na ito, ibinigay sa mga Hudyo, di ba? And so, hindi na siguro kailangan yung pangalan. You can mention, actually in verse 6, sabi niya, David said, at sabi niya, but someone has testified somewhere. It was unnamed in that point, pero alam natin si David po yon, Psalm 8. Kasi nga kausap po niya mga Hudyo, again, the audience here is the Jews. And by saying testify, it means to give credence, to give credibility. It is a judicial word. Ginagamit sa korte that refers to a witness giving credibility to a particular claim. Alam po yung mga legal counsel sa atin, di ba? Pinapatayo ho yung witness. That is that word testified or martyr. It is the word where we get the word martyr. Martyrdom is witnessing. So when you're sharing the gospel, you are actually experiencing martyrdom. Siyempre, hindi ka pinapatay. But you are witnessing. You are giving credibility to our claim. And so, the intention of the author here is to testify that Jesus indeed became man. Someone has already testified even in the Old Testament. That was David. And so to deny Jesus not becoming man is to deny even the Old Testament teaching. To deny David. Or to deny the whole scriptures. Yan ang ibig po sabihin niya. And so when a cult, when a group says, we do not believe the Messiah will ever be a flesh, will come as a flesh. And so you're saying, I do not believe the Bible. Therefore, I do not believe God. Yan ang ibig sabihin po dito, mga kapatid. For the author of Hebrews to quote directly from Psalm 8 is to testify to all of the world that Jesus became man. It attests the humanity of Jesus Christ. Again, please do not remove from your minds, in Hebrews chapter 1, we have dealt about the deity of Christ. Amen? We have dealt about the godhood of Christ. And to fulfill salvation, that deity has to become like us so that he can identify with us. And ultimately, he will be our guilt, sin bearer. Di po ba? In that way, brethren, the intention of God that the Christ would become a man, little lower than angels, is for his divine purposes. Something na mahirap po. And so the question here is this. I thought Jesus is superior than angels. Akala ko ba mas mataas siya sa anghel? Bakit sinabi niya, little lower ngayon? Ano ba talaga? Di ba? Bakit sinabi ng Hebrews chapter 2, quoting Psalm 8, little lower, quoting, also presenting or attesting Jesus Christ? When we say in chapter 1, Jesus is better than angels, why is it then that Christ would become little lower than them? In what way? Again, go back to the passage. Look at your Bible, brethren, because there in your Bible, there's an important aspect of what we are discussing here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7. You have made him, marami mga translation, lower than angels. But in the original translation, there's a word there that means for a little while. For a little while. You have made him for a little while lower than angels. That word little while made a significant difference in our interpretation here. The lowering of man, listen to this, although originally, Psalm 8 referred to man, but ginamit po ng author yan also to speak about Christ. And so, hang on with this, brethren, the lowering of man against angels is a temporary one. Okay? Go back again doon sa biblical mandate. God, in His original design, God entrusted the rulership of this created world to man. Problem, sin came, nagulo. And so for man, even to have that rulership, gumawa ang Panginoon ng solusyon, God became man. God became man. So that in Christ, we will rule with Him for eternity. That means that our life here on this earth is a temporary one because as believers, we have a direction. We have something we are looking forward to. And by the way, brethren, it means also that kaya po pangako ng Panginoon eternal life because hindi ito ang buhay po natin, di po ba? May buhay po tayong titignan. Temporary lang po ito. And so in that way, listen to this, in that way, the lowering of man against angels is a temporary one in the sense that we are living in this world with time and space, but actually after all this, we will spend eternity either with God or without God. And so when applied to Christ, brethren, his lowering than angels, which is basically identifying with man, has time element. Jesus entered the physical realm, which is bound with space and time. In that way, Jesus became lower than angels in the sense that he subjected himself with time and space. Yan ang binabanggit po nung for a little while. For about 33 years, approximately, Jesus lowered himself than angels, but a temporary one. A temporary one. Difficult to lunukin, di ba? this doctrine will really blow our minds. Because in the program of God, of course, according to His design, that is purpose, to realize salvation for us. But that is His way. He lowered Himself in a sense that He did not give up His deity. But He lowered Himself, He willingly subjected Himself, He put Himself in order according to all the natural laws of this earth for a time, for a while. In that way, He became lower than angels. Man is lower than angel in a sense that we live in a physical realm bound up with time and space. But in the sovereign program of God, man will be elevated in the spiritual realm where man will have dominion over his angels. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, we will reign with Him. Temporary lang. Amen? And so, Jesus identified Himself with those who are little lower than angels. It is a proof of His humanity. A proof of His humanity. And lastly po, malapit na po tayo. That is in verse 9. He was identified as those who have suffered death. And now gives us a clear picture. Now it gives us a clear vision of Jesus' humanity. At first point, ang gulo. ang hirap lunukin. Jesus identified with those who have been given delegated authority and according to the program of God. Oh nga, totoo nga, ganun nga ang ginawa ng Panginoon. And then after that, He was subjected Himself little lower than angels. For what purpose? For what reason? Verse 9 then is clear reason why Jesus came. In verse 9, but we do see Him who was made for a little lower than the angels. Again, referring to Jesus. Psalm 8 referred to Jesus. Namely, Jesus, because of His suffering, death crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. Look at me here, brethren. I believe, and you must believe, that this is the culminating reason why Jesus has to come and has to become like us. This is the reason, brethren. This is the crowning purpose of His humanity. This is the centerpiece of Jesus' humanity, brethren. And let us look at the verse. The author of Hebrews affirmed what was said about the Messiah by David in Psalm 8. Psalm 8, referring to man, and then the author of Hebrews had identified also that Psalm 8 to Jesus. He was named as Jesus. The author identified the person. His name is Jesus, the name of the Lord, the Messiah. And if you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel announced that you will bear a son, talking to Mary, and you shall call His name what? Jesus. For what purpose? For He will save His people from their sins. Right at the beginning of the incarnation, brethren, His redeeming purpose has already bear before us even by that name Jesus, even by giving His name. Christ became man. Why did Jesus come? Matthew and the author of Hebrews have mentioned it already. Jesus came to save His people from their sins by tasting death according to the grace of God. That is the message of Jesus' humanity. The message of Jesus, Christ becoming man, is to save His people from their sins by becoming death Himself according to the grace of God. In Luke chapter 22, verse 37, it says, "For I tell you," Jesus was talking here, "for I tell you that these scriptures," the Bible, at that time, the Old Testament Bible, "must be fulfilled in me." And what is that? That He was numbered with the transgressors. "For what is written about me has its fulfillment," Jesus said. Jesus came. First of all, look at your Bibles again in verse 9. Jesus came to suffer death. The purpose of the incarnation is not only to show the glory and grace of God, but ultimately to suffer death. You see, brethren, death is a reality to every human being. Amen? Kung di kayo naniniwala na mamamatay po kayo, posible, look at yourself in the mirror. Dati-dati, eh, kinis po, kinis papaya, di ba? Ngayon, ano na? Kinis sandpaper. That's the reality of man. Because eventually, we will come to a point of death. Death is a sure experience of every human being. Death actually is the penalty of sin. And death is what Solomon has said as the thing that comes to all men. And you know what, brethren? Jesus subjected himself willingly to suffer death for you. Jesus came to suffer death also. The Bible tells us Jesus, listen to this, Jesus drank the cup of the wrath of God till that last drop is done. And you know what that last drop? That last drop is death. Jesus has tasted death. Both the Old and the New Testament taught that the Messiah would die. All throughout the New Testament, Christ's death was the reality of Jesus' humanity. Hindi lang ho siya nag-faint. Sinasabi po ng mga Gnostic Gospels na ito. Jesus did not faint dahil sa sakit ho nung kanya pong nangyari po sa krus. No. Jesus really died. He tasted death. It's a figure of what? Experiencing death. And not only that Jesus came to suffer death, anong sinabi po ng verse 9? Jesus came to suffer death with dignity and glory. He suffered death with glory and honor. What separate us, what separate my death from the death of Christ is that his death was a voluntary, willful death. Anong pinagkaiba? Of course, wag ho natin sabihin na matay si Jesus, ibig sabihin niya makasalanan siya kasi penalty yun. No. He voluntarily subjected himself. He laid down his life as a payment for our sin. He tasted death for us. Voluntarily, mga kapatid. He died. Listen to this. He died with honor, with dignity. When we say he died with glory, he died without sin, affirming his glorious divinity. The glory still resides in him. Even at the point of death, he did not sin. And he died with dignity. That means that he fulfilled what he came for. His death was the most valuable one of his humanity because he made the atonement for your sin, which is required by God in the law. He has to die because he is our perfect sacrifice. He has to make an atonement for your sin. Not only that he suffered death with dignity and glory, Jesus came to suffer death with dignity and glory according to the grace of God. According to the grace of God. That phrase, according to the grace of God, would mean a lot of things, brethren. It could mean, first of all, according to the way and will of God. And that is rightly so. God save you not according to your term, not according to your religiosity, not according to your human kindness and perspective, not according to your intention. Pinili ko si God eh, kahit sinave niya ko hindi. According to the grace of God, according to His own way. That is the one meaning of that phrase, according to the grace of God. But brethren, it could also mean that He died according to His gracious mercy. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. We don't deserve the death of Christ. We don't deserve it. And yet God gave it anyway. Why? His mercy is pure. His mercy is pure. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. We were generated, regenerated. We were saved according to the mercy of God. And brethren, who is the object of that death? Or to whom benefit that death? Of course, Jesus came to suffer death with dignity and glory according to the grace of God for everyone. And we know that word everyone is the in behalf of the whole believers. That is the literal meaning. in behalf not of each person in the world, because we know many people reject Christ, but He died for the benefit of the whole Christians, believers. Amen. And so, brethren, Jesus became man. He became man to redeem the original design, to show us also what humility means, and thirdly, to save sinners like us. And I would like to summarize this message by way of application. I would like you to respond in three ways according to these three lessons. Ano ngayon ito? Paano ko ngayon ibubuhay ito? First of all, we must have a humble appreciation of the humanity of Christ. When was the last time you thanked the Lord that God became man to identify with us and eventually to rescue us? When was the last time? You see, the reality of Jesus' incarnation does not just tell us about the humanity, about His humanity. This preaching is not meant for you to be informed. This message is intended for us to show humility before God. Did you get that? The message here is not for us, oh yes, oh, dami kong alam dyan, oh, nalaman ko dyan about the humanity of Christ. No way, kapatid. It shows us what humility means. You see, the knowledge of incarnation will always bring us to the valuable lesson on humility. That Christ became a man is one of the great lessons the world should learn. In this world of pride and self-promotion, the doctrine of the incarnation is what the world should hear to bring them to a godly perspective about humility. God, who created the whole things, the God who sustains all things, became a man, subjected Himself in death. What is man that You are mindful of him, Lord? So the number one people, brethren, listen to this, the number one people who should be keep on learning this truth is you. Ang numero uno na dapat patuloy na nire-remind po natin ang value ng pagpapakumbaba in the light of God's incarnation, sino po dapat yon? Ikaw na mananampalataya na nakatikim ng grasya ng Panginoon. When was the last time you humble before God in the light of God, the greatest of all, becoming man to save you? When was the last time you humbled yourself? And so if you are worshiping the Lord, you just don't go to the Lord as if wala lang o kapantay mo lang. That's the number one application point. Humble yourself. Second, in loving worship of Christ, we must have a loving worship of Christ. Our Lord's humanity brings us to a realization that Christ indeed is the rightful Savior and Master. We adore Him, and it is the truth of Jesus' humanity that made us aware of the mercy, grace, and holiness of God. Something we should always remember in this life, amen? In the words of the psalmist, it says, "What is man that You are mindful of him?" Lord, sino ba ako that You would love me? Lord, what is man that You would care for him? This is a beautiful, brethren, because in the light of all of us, fallen from sin. And so, even nasa upuan po kayo, I would like you to marvel at the grace and mercy of God in Christ. Don't go from this place na parang you just attended a service. This time, ask the Lord, commune with God, adore Him. What is man? Lord, sino nga buo ako noon? And lastly, God's incarnation should bring us a joyful service for Christ. This is a message that all people should learn, should know. Amen? And so serve Him that way. And I would like to end this message by way of quoting one of the beautiful hymns in the past. From time to time, maganda po siguro, go back to the hymns, because hymns teaches us about doctrines. I would like to quote po the Man of Sorrows. Listen to this. Man of Sorrows. What a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scuffling rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full redemption can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And when he comes, our glorious King, to his kingdom us to bring, then anew this song will sing in that new heaven and new earth. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior we have. Amen. What a Savior we have. Let us pray. Next week po, titingnan po natin Jesus' activity. We have seen Jesus' humanity. We will see next meeting po, Jesus' activity. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this message. Lord, it's so difficult, Lord God. Must be because of our limitation to understand, Lord God. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit who will enable us to understand things of God. We have the mind of Christ. And thank you, Lord God, that you have given us enough wisdom, sufficient grace to behold this truth so that we will apply this in our humble appreciation, in our loving worship of Him, in our joyful service for Christ. Lord, even as we give of our tithes and offering, thank you, Lord God, for your grace. May your name be glorified, Lord God, in and through this church. Help us, O Lord God, to give. At the end of the day, Lord God, you have already outgave us, O Lord. Salamat po. Pinupuri po namin kayo sa pangalan ni Jesus. Amen.